we just worship him right now here today. Hallelujah. God, I praise you. I worship you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Let your will be done here today, God. Lord, you see every heart. Hallelujah, Lord, in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I want to speak to you today, unhappy Christians dealing with depression. We live in a day and age, folks, where it's rampant, depression is. Not that it hasn't been before, but, you know, if you go in the hospital today for earache or stomach ache or whatever, they have you fill out reports. They give you, nowadays they give you these iPads. And they ask you questions in there about depression. I don't tell them anything other than what they need to know. Be careful what you fill out on those reports. Okay. I don't know anybody that's never had a day where you might be a little depressed. That's none of their business, in my book. Right? Come on, God made us with emotions. We have our days when we're up, we have our days when we're down. But you don't need to give me a pill for it. You don't need to lay me on a couch for it. I can go talk to Jesus. Amen. But you know, nowadays they have all these talk shows, different things, different people on TV, and it's just, I think it's glorified. And everybody feels they need something in that area. But I want to just talk to you today about this and help us to just understand, folks, we know the great physician. Amen. And we can go to him and he can help us and he can bless us. And God has given us a guideline to live by, and that's his holy word. Amen. And a lot of times if we just follow what it says in the word, we're going to be a lot better off. Amen. And we can be blessed and help in that area. So let's just pray right now and ask God to speak to us here today. Thank you, Lord, for your word. We ask, God, that you just touch and move in every heart here today. Speak to every heart. I pray, God, that you just let your will be done. And help us, Lord, to understand that you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we give you praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. In America today, we are dealing with a national epidemic. It is not a virus. It's not a bacterial infection or a germ of any kind. It is a spiritual, emotional, and physical epidemic called depression. Depression. 15% of Americans will require medical treatment for depression in their lifetime. Around 8 million Americans are clinically depressed to the point that they cannot function at their job. Depression affects each of us at one time or another, and to one degree or another. There's no one who is immune to depression, not preachers, doctors, not anybody. Many godly people in the Bible suffered from immense depression at some point in their life. You read the life of Moses and John the Baptist and David and Jonah and Paul. But today I want to look at Elijah. In 1 Kings 19, 1 through 4, and Ahab told Jezebel that all that Elijah had done and with all how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, "So let the gods do to me. And more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow, about this time." And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die, and said, "It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers." You see, Elijah had despaired so much that he wished he was dead. You ever thought that about yourself? Honestly, you could say that I don't think I ever wished I was dead. Why did Elijah become depressed to the point of death? Elijah was overcome with irrational thoughts called fear. His fear came as a result of being threatened by this evil woman. He was not thinking rationally, or he would have remembered, folks, all that God had done and the victory that he won, and realized that this Jezebel was no match for God. And so, folks, we often do the same thing when we have seemingly insurmountable problems come into our lives, and we feel overwhelmed at times, and we feel helpless at times. You see, helpless, folks, understand, helpless is not a bad place to be, though. When we know we are helpless, we should go to God. Because God can handle our problems, can he not? Faith is the key. Amen? We can't live for God with fear. We must have faith in our God. Here Elijah went off by himself. He became a loner, facing a long, hard battle by himself. And it took a huge toll on Elijah. When faced with a great problem, he continued to separate himself from his friends and went off alone. It's not good. His discouragement drove him further into depression because he isolated himself. One of the worst things you can do. You see, this isolation further perpetuated his depression via loneliness. Now, oftentimes when things go tough or get tough in our lives, we do the same thing. We get off by ourselves. We stew about our problems alone. You see, our friends, our great support group, when we are battling depression, that is the worst time to abandon your support group. It's when you're heading in that depression zone. We need each other. That's why we have our small groups, folks. That's why it's important. Amen? Let me tell you something. There's something said about just doing what is right. And a lot of times we know it's the right thing to do to go be a part or get around or call our friends from the church or be in our small group, be at church, all these kind of things. And we continue to say, just leave me alone. We know better. We get off by ourselves and we stew over the problems. And we play it over and over and over again in our mind. Your friends, your church family is a great support group. You see, Elijah was feeling this normal aloneness that comes after great victory. Elijah was a strong man of God. His valleys were higher than most people's mountains. And the reality was that he was back to normal after a great spiritual victory. His thought process, though, told him different. You see, he experienced this the awesome power of God to such a level that normalness seemed a deep, terrible valley. And these are things sometimes you go through when you come back from camp meeting. You're on that spiritual high. Amen? When you come back from a conference, you're on that spiritual high, and all of a sudden you get back to normalness, and you think, what's going on? Man, I was enjoying it up here. And here Elijah just had this great victory. Now he's back to normal. You see, Elijah was physically exhausted. He was spiritually drained and emotionally spent. Elijah had been living under grueling conditions and stress for many years, fighting a great spiritual battles that kept him under these enormous pressures. He had just experienced the climax of an awesome spiritual battle, and Elijah is just physically drained. There's an old saying that says, if you will break the bow if you always keep it bent. In other words, if you're living under constant, relentless stress, you will finally break under the pressure. You see, you must give yourself time for rest and refreshment. Another thing Elijah did, he got lost in self-pity. I'm alone. I'm all alone. I'm the only one left. Actually, he wasn't. But this was his feeling talked to him. It's not reality. I'm no better than my fathers, he said. Well, who told him that? So what if you're no better than your fathers? Who put the pressure on him that he was no better than his father? He did. He did it himself. He did that himself. Let me die. Let me tell you something. Death is not the answer. Death is not the answer. But he had these symptoms of depression, and these things are something we can't mess with. It's symptoms of depression is a feeling of hopelessness and despair. Long-term feelings of sadness and apathy. Loss of perspective concerning life, concerning things of work and family, etc. Changes in physical activities, appetite, sleep patterns, low self-esteem. Withdrawing from other people. Understand something, folks. We look at these things and we feel this hopelessness. We feel this despair. We feel sadness and apathy and all these different things. The devil wants to tell you a lie and tell you that you're not worth anything. But understand something, folks. God saw that you were so important to him that he put the cross at Calvary. Hallelujah. He said, I want to die. I want to give you hope. Amen. I want to give you life eternal. The devil is a liar. He is a liar. The Bible says he's the father of it. People want to avoid avoidance of problems and escapism and thoughts of suicide and desire and death. That is not of God. Amen. That is of the enemy. Hypersensitive feelings about what other people say. I've always believed this. I've always said this. We need to have a tougher skin. No, it's not always fun. It's not always easy to hear things or find out somebody doesn't like you and things of that nature. But, hey, it isn't going to kill you. At least it shouldn't. People begin to feel guilt. But the devil is a liar. You see, and folks, that's why God went down and he overcame through the victory of the cross, amen. He overcame death, hell, and the grave. Amen. Because if that's all we had to look forward to, yeah, you would look at life hopelessness. If we didn't have anything to know that we're going to spend eternity with Jesus Christ, amen, life would be hopeless. But praise God that we have something to look forward to. This is not all there is to life, amen. Amen. It's all about serving Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. He made us in his image. He desires relationship with each and every one of us. The King, the Lord of Lords. Amen. The one who made all of this. You say, well, this is all not all that good. It's not what God intended. God didn't intend for all this junk that goes on in the world today. He didn't intend for that. It's man's decisions. We have choice. We can serve God or we can say, forget you. But there's a consequence for every choice we make. And the devil doesn't want people to accept those choices. He wants us to blame others. It's easier to blame others. And when we start blaming others, we think, wow, this life is really not good. It's this person's fault. No, nobody likes me. Everybody's out to get me. Therefore, we don't even like ourselves. But let's look at God strengthened Elijah. In 2 Kings chapter 19, verse 5 through 8, it says, "And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, Arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water at his hand. And he did eat and drink and laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came again and a second time and touched him and said, Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And he did arose. And he arose and did eat and drink and went in the strength of the meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mountain of God." The Mount of God. There are three things that happened to Elijah in this situation, and he renewed his strength enough to continue his journey. First, God gave Elijah a place to rest. Elijah was very weary, emotionally spent. He was spiritually drained. You ever been there? Maybe you're there now. Come on. Understand this, folks. This was a man of God. A man of God. He was weary, emotionally spent, spiritually drained. A lie from the devil is, well, you're a Christian. You shouldn't feel like this. Yeah, you're a Christian. That means Christ-like. But you're still human. Pinch yourself. Make sure you're human. Come on. Huh? You're still human. That hurt, didn't it? Come on. If you didn't hurt, pinch harder. Just kidding. We have these times in our lives, folks. You know, there's going to be a time when we're going to not have this body and all that kind of stuff, but not yet. Right? God also fed Elijah. Here it is, physical food. But folks, we are fed by the reading of the Word of God spiritually. Amen? When you are being bashed around, that is when you need to feast on the Word more than ever. Get into the Word of God. Amen? When you start to get these feelings. And then God spoke to Elijah. He sent an angel to minister to Elijah, to feed him, to give him rest. Amen? To give him fresh word from God. These are things that we need. This is how God was helping him in this time. So let's look at some ways to overcome depression a little bit here. We got to eat right and we need to exercise. Amen. Avoid sugary things and caffeine things. Get more immediate energy. It creates an anxiety. Avoid alcohol and extreme depressants. You need to exercise. Release those endorphins, which are natural mood enhancers that are in the body. When you rest better at night, when you have a rough day, when you've overexerted yourself, when you exercise right, you'll sleep better. Come on. Get enough light and sunshine. Now, I know that's hard here in Northeast Ohio, but take what we can get. All right, if you go outside, it's better than sitting there in front of the TV. Huh? Or sitting on the couch with your phone. Get out and do something. Go shovel the walk. Come on, go mow the grass. Plant a flower bed. Get outside and do something. People don't want to go outside anymore. Come on. Melatonin is a substance that promotes relaxation, but also is a physical depressant. Melatonin is a product in the body while in the dark environment. Depression, folks, increases in the winter. Get out of the house and get some sunshine. Amen? Take whatever the clouds will let you have. But get outside and get into it. You need to get activity and engage in something you enjoy. Find a new hobby. This is why we have things here at the church. Get involved in the things at the church. And amen. And bless others. Be a blessing to others. It will bless your life. Amen. Do something creative. Do something fun. Find a new purpose in your life. I don't think you can get anything greater than helping and being a blessing to other people. Feeling you've accomplished something in helping somebody better themselves. Be social. Come on. Not this kind of social. Talking. Go to somebody's house and play Rook. Come on. Talk. Oh, yes. I couldn't believe one time, I promise you folks, I was in a restaurant with some people from church, and these young girls were sitting across from each other, texting each other. Across the table. I looked at them, I said, no, don't tell me. Do not tell me you're sitting there texting each other.
Why?
Are you kidding me? I hear nowadays they don't even ask each other to dance when they go to the proms. They text each other, will you dance with me? We need to talk to each other. Amen. There's nothing like going up and shaking somebody's hand, hugging their neck. Amen. And say, hey, how you doing today? Come on. See, depression leads to a desire to be alone, which only perpetuates the problem. Force yourself and design your life to be where you have and mingle with other people in a vital way. I need others. We need to admit that. We need each other. Come on, tell yourself today, I need others. Don't fool yourself, folks. God made us relational. Amen. Get out and be a blessing to other people. Prayer, meditation, and Bible study are good for us. God will speak to those who diligently seek Him. His word says that. Amen? Minister to other people. Nothing takes your mind off your own problems quicker than helping other people with their problems. Come on. Hallelujah. And if it persists, get medical help. Depression sometimes caused by chemical imbalance. Amen. Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. Get what you need. There is no shame in seeking wisdom and knowledge from somebody wiser. Amen. The only shame is wasting a single day wallowing in depression when God doesn't intend for you to do so. God does not intend for us to be there. Amen. So why are so many Christians unhappy? Now don't sit here and think, now who's he talking about today? I'm talking in general, okay? This is just the things that I see sometimes, and I think that we can do better, and that's what I want to help us here today. Joy is the emotion of salvation. In 1 Peter 1, verse 8 says, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable, and full of glory. If you're a Christian, the Spirit gives you soaring delight in Jesus Christ, folks. His beauty and His greatness should thrill your soul. Amen? If you can't allow yourself to be thrilled with the things of God, then something's wrong. Maybe you need to get down and pray through again. Amen. Maybe you need to get into the Word a little bit more. Amen. Because God does not intend for us to be down in the dumps. Come on. Parents, when your kids, when you see they're coming in, their lips dragging the ground, do you say, oh yeah, that's right where I like them? What's the matter, honey? Right? And what do you start doing? You start to, you know, talk to them about things that it's not that bad. Look at this and look at that. And you start trying to point out all the good things to them. Would you like some cookies and milk? What are you trying to do? You're trying to lift them up. Right? Our Heavenly Father does not want us dragging our lip on the ground, folks. Amen. He wants to bless us. He wants to help us. Amen. And he will do those things. Come on. I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe that he's real. Amen. I think he is a God that knows all things. Hallelujah. Amen. So therefore, I can trust in him. You see, quite a few Christians struggle to experience joy. Why is that? Some people by nature tend to be sad. Come on. And joy is an ongoing challenge for them. Martin Lloyd-Jones said, spiritual depression in his book, Temperament or Personality, as the first and foremost cause of depression. Hear me. He said, temperament and personality are the foremost cause of depression. But there are other reasons. Young moms are often surprised at how tired they are, sleepless and exhausted, and they wrestle to find joy. If you are grieving or suffering, you may not realize that God has specific joys for you in your present circumstances. And don't forget that the enemy hates us and will steal every ounce of joy he can. Understand that, folks. We have to be wise to his devices. We need to understand how he approaches and how he tries to get at us. Amen? Because if not, he's going to trick you up. So our temperament, our personality, are the first and foremost causes. Well, we need to try to look into that and understand that and realize, is it the way that I'm handling myself? Am I always upset about things? What is my personality like? We need to work on trying to better those things. We need to always be working on trying to better our life. Never get happy with where you are, especially living for Jesus Christ. Always try to go higher and be better in him and do better in him. Amen? And be what God wants you to be. Good. Make yourself something that God can use. Many job training, there's always training going on in a good company. They're always trying to help people and trying to use people and to promote for them within and all these kind of things. Folks, why do we think that living for God, that we should not try to make ourselves better? Amen? But the most miserable Christians that I've seen are those who live with a foot in the world and in the church. Come on. They hedge their bets. They have one eye on heaven and one on the earth. And they call the name of Christ, but they still try to find security, satisfaction, and pleasure, and fulfillment from the world. They're riding the fence. And they're not happy. I ask you today, is that you? The only way to have joy is to fully say yes to Jesus Christ. Amen? Come on, hallelujah. Say yes! Which means saying no to the world. It's a definite yes to Jesus. Definitely. Definitely. You see, the most miserable Christians are those who live with the foot in both worlds, folks. It is important for every Christian to be convinced that God is what they need. God is good. God is what I need. And what's more, God is God alone, and God is good. God all alone is good. If we are not absolutely convinced that God alone is good, we will not be able to say no to other gods that promised to deliver joy in your life. They promise to deliver things, but they only deliver sorrow. See, we don't dare to imagine that there is ever a sliver of good apart from the things of God. You see, we should understand that there's nothing good apart from God. His will is what I need for my lives. I cannot share with the world and with God. In Psalm 16, this drives this truth home. Psalm 16, verse 2, I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good thing. Psalm 73, 25, whom have I in heaven but you? And earth has nothing I desire besides you. Psalms 142 and 5, cry to the Lord, I say, you are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. Hallelujah. James writes in James 1, 16 and 17, do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Every ounce of good in this world, folks, hear me today. Every ounce of good in this world comes from God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Nothing can possibly be good unless it comes from God. A joyful Christian believes this truth. He banks his life and joy on it. If you don't believe that today, folks, it's no wonder you can live in depression. Calvin put it this way, it will not suffice simply to hold that there is one whom all ought to honor and adore, unless we are also persuaded that he is the fountain of every good and that we must seek nothing elsewhere than in him. For unto men recognize that they owe everything to God and that they are nourished by his fatherly care, and he is the author of their every good, that they should seek nothing beyond him. They will never yield willing service. Nay, unless they establish their complete happiness in him, they will never give themselves truly and sincerely to him. God is good. God alone is good. Folks, that all good comes from God. But best of all, folks, God gives us himself. Amen? And he is our joy and unspeakably glorious delights of our heart every day, folks. We need to realize that in him. Amen? I need encouragement today. I have to go to God. Amen? I need to talk to God. I need to hear from him today. I need it today. David said in Psalm 16:11, thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. And at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. But there's that no that people say at times, that great no. God alone is good. So therefore, he is the source of every ounce of good in this world. But Satan, he tempts us to think that we can find something good and satisfying apart from God. But we must declare a strong, resounding no to anything that promises good without him. This great no is the heart of Christian joy. And the essence of sin is looking for good outside of God and his will. And that is how Eve was deceived. In Genesis 3:6, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and the tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. A lot of times we stumble in the same way that Eve did. You see, when I dig beneath the surface of any sin in my life, I find that I am trying to get something good apart from God and God's ways. That good thing might be pleasure. That good thing might be security or significance or satisfaction or justice or belongings or comfort, something physical, some physical need, or it could go on and on. But the thing is when we try to do it ourselves without God. And folks, in the end, what is that? It's idolatry. I'm looking for to something other than God to meet my needs and to satisfy my desires. You see, these gods that we go after promise joy, but they, in the end, they deliver to us misery. And that is why a half-hearted Christian cannot have an ongoing joy in Christ. Come on. David said in Psalm 16:4, the sorrows, pain, and suffering of those who have chosen another God will be multiplied because of their idolatry. Psalms 31:10 says, for my life is spent with grief and my years with sighing. My strength faileth because of mine iniquity or sin, and my bones are consumed. You see, we run after other gods to find joy, but we end up finding sorrow. You see, a young Christian knows that they shouldn't marry a non-Christian, but they think that they'll find love and security in this relationship, even though God is not in it. And they want something good, but they're looking to another god to provide it, and their sorrows will multiply. A Christian thinks that they will find fulfillment in pornography or hooking up after work or sexual pleasures is a good thing. Folks, understand that sexual pleasure is a good thing in God's terms, in God's ways. But this Christian is looking to another god to give them these brief seconds of pleasure and will turn to gravel and ashes in their mouth. A Christian looks for significance through gossip. They feel important when they talk about what other people are doing, and they find they are not finding their worth in Christ. They are running after another god for their sense of value. And the essence of sin is looking for good outside of God and His will. We need to say no to sin for your joy. Come on. An unforgiving Christian holds a grudge, and they think that it is the other person's responsibility to make things right. Genesis 18:25 is, far be it from you to do such a thing, to strike the righteous with the wicked, so that the righteous and the wicked are treated alike. Far be it from you. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right by executing justice and righteous judgment? They are running after another God. Joshua 24:15, and if it seems evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which are your fathers served, that which are on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Hallelujah. Look to God and His will for every good gift in your life. In Psalm 16:5, Lord, you alone are my portion and my cup. You make my lot secure. Half-hearted Christians are not happy Christians. Hope in God. Don't run after other gods. That is the path to joy, folks. See, we as individuals, we need to be willing to face truth about our attitudes. We need to be able to face truth about our behaviors. Even what we want out of life, we need to be truthful to ourselves. If you have a bad attitude, admit it and correct it. If you have bad behaviors, admit it and correct it. In John 8:31 and 32 says, "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believe on him, if," the biggest word, "if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." You see, too often we enjoy telling everybody else the truth about themselves. "Well, you need to do this, and you should stop doing that, and you need to da-da-da-da-da-da-da." But we often have a difficult time facing the truth about ourselves. Amen? See, I'm going to stand before God, and I'm going to give an account for my life. I'm not going to stand there and give an account for somebody else to God. When I stand before God, it's about me and God. We need to be honest with ourselves. So if I'm going to stand before God and give an account, I better get this attitude under control. Amen? I better get these behaviors in my life under control. Amen? And it starts with me. I have a bad attitude, then I need to say there's no point in me blaming you or anybody else for my wrong in my life. I can't blame people for what's wrong in my life. I can't blame anybody else but me. And we live in a day and age where, folks, it's everybody else's problems. This is going on in your life. Well, it's not my fault. It's their fault. It's because of them. Because of mom and dad, what they did. Did my parents do everything right? No. But what's wrong in my life is because of decisions I've made. What's right in my life is because of decisions I've made. Amen? I'm the one that's going to stand before God. Nobody else. So if I have a bad attitude, I need to say there's no point in blaming anybody else for what is wrong in my life. A lot of times people make other people responsible for their joy. "I can't be happy unless they do this for me. You're not making me happy. You're not doing this. You're not doing that." It's not their job to make you happy. You have to do what is right to make you happy. We need to understand that my personal joy and your personal joy is not somebody else's responsibility. It's my responsibility. It's your responsibility. If you want joy in your life, it's your responsibility to do what you need to get it. If I want joy in my life, it's my responsibility to get it. Your joy comes from how you think. Your joy comes from the choices that we make in life. And sometimes, folks, we make bad choices. You got the t-shirt? Come on. Sometimes we make bad choices. Some spend a lifetime. Some people spend a lifetime making bad choices. And now they don't like the results in their life. So they want to put the responsibility on everybody else to take care of them and make them happy because they made bad choices. Hear me today. Let's stand. One of the key things for people as far as joy is concerned is not living a selfish, self-centered lifestyle. Let me say it again. One of the key things for people as far as joy is concerned is not to live a selfish, self-centered lifestyle where we live our lives expecting everybody else to do something for us. If you want to have joy, I assume everybody wants joy here today. You have to not only make sure that you think right, but also you have to make decisions now that are going to guarantee some joy in your future. You have to make the decisions now that's going to guarantee you joy in your future. And I want to open up this altar today. Maybe you're prone to blaming other people. Maybe you resent your parents or whoever it is that raised you. Maybe you resent your boss. Maybe he demoted you. Maybe he fired you. And you can go on and on down the list. But really, if you're honest with yourself, you need to say, it's my fault. You see, you're not with mom and dad right now. Make the decisions that are right for you. Make choices that are going to help you. And today there's a choice that you can make to guarantee joy in your future. And that's kneeling at an old cross and say, God, forgive me. Kneeling at an old altar and say, God, from here on out, I want you to help me. God, even in your word, when it convicts me, I'm going to accept it. How about it today, folks? You want to make some decisions right now that'll help you guarantee joy in your future. Come on, we need to make those right decisions in our life today. God, help me, Lord Jesus. Help me, Lord.